This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. Initiative 735 concerns a proposed amendment to the federal constitution. This measure would urge the Washington State Congressional Delegation to propose a federal constitutional amendment that constitutional rights belong only to individuals, not corporations, and constitutionally protected free speech excludes the spending of money. Should I-735 be enacted into law? To help answer this question, I have as my guest Matthew Strybe, Director of Communications for the Washington Coalition to Amend the Constitution, a group urging a yes vote on I-735 in the November 2016 general election. Welcome, Matthew.
Thanks, Diane.
Why do we need I-735? What is the purpose?
Well, the problem right now is that elections are becoming exponentially more expensive. Like, if you compare 1984 to now, to run for Congress cost 555 times more money. And a lot of that is due to Citizens United in 2010, which decided that corporations and wealthy individuals can spend unlimited amounts of money to support candidates, and also created super PACs, which allows people to donate anonymously to different candidates. And so right now, we have a situation where only people who are really wealthy can have any influence in who can run for election. And what 735 would do is make sure that everything is regulated, and there's no longer anonymous donations, and that it's a level playing field, and it will have it written into the Constitution. So decisions like Citizens United can't come up in the future to take away our rights as individuals.
Would you go into more detail about what I-735 proposes?
So I-735 is a three-part proposal. We are saying that we want corporations to not have the rights of people. There are cases going back to the 1800s saying that a corporation has all the rights in the Bill of Rights. Like, they have a right to free speech. They have a right to not testify against themselves in court. They have basically a right to equal protection, which was meant for freeing the slaves and ensuring that Black people can vote. And that has led to them being allowed to spend unlimited amounts of money because they are considered a person. So that's the first thing we want to get rid of. The second thing we want to get rid of is saying that money is speech. We want to say that spending money for political advertisements is not the same as posting on Facebook that you support a certain candidate, and that because you have more money doesn't mean you should have more speech. And a third thing is saying that all political expenditures should be regulated. So when a candidate runs for office, people voting for or against that candidate know who's spending the money. And we are part of this nationwide movement where 17 other states have already passed similar initiatives, either through ballot measures or through their legislature. And we're hoping that once we get to a majority of states, which is only a couple years down the road, that Congress will have no choice but to act on this and to enact these reforms.
Would you say more about how the Supreme Court Citizens United decision has affected our democracy?
So there's a group called Citizens United that wanted to air anti-Hillary movies right before the election. And people were upset, saying it was going against the Federal Election Commission's rule that there is a limit on advertisements and election speech before an election. And it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court struck it down, saying that spending money is a form of free speech, which had been decided earlier, and that you couldn't limit how much organizations can spend in favor or against a candidate. Now, this created super PACs, and super PACs are one of the biggest problems right now. Basically, super PACs are these groups which raise money to promote or attack a candidate during an election. And they have to say who they're getting their money from, but the people who give them money don't have to say who they are, so that doesn't really matter anymore. It's pretty much anonymous. And they can spend as much as they want. And in 2012, the first election after Citizens United, they spent $1 billion in that election. And in this election, it's supposed to even eclipse that. We don't even know how much they're going to spend this election. And so there's billions of dollars going out there supporting candidates, and we don't know who's giving the money. That's a big problem.
Would you say more about the trend in spending on elections since the Citizens United ruling?
Well, let's go local for a bit. If you look at the Seattle City Council election, political action committees last year spent $800,000 supporting and attacking candidates. Do you know how much they spent in 2011? Zero. And this is all because of this emerging trend. So you're having, I guess it's not even, you know, an 800,000% increase. It's an infinity increase when you're going from zero to 800,000 in Seattle City Council elections. And if you look at, you know, federally, so far in the presidential election, about half the money coming from these super PACs, political action committees, is coming from about 30 families. So you may give $25 to a candidate, but how effective is that when someone down the street is giving $30 million? The playing field is becoming increasingly and increasingly uneven and unfair. And basically, Citizens United only benefits people who can give $30 million to a candidate. And if you can't give $30 million to a candidate, there's really no reason why you should support it.
You've been alluding to this, but would you remind us of the process for amending the Constitution to get that clear in everybody's mind?
So there's a couple different ways. There's the way which no one ever goes through is where the states just decide on their own to have a constitutional convention and they all group together and they pass one and it's very complicated, but no one does it. But the way that we're talking about, which is the common way that's been happened, I think, 12 times in the last century, is that 2/3 of the House of Representatives and 2/3 of the Senate put forward a constitutional amendment and pass it. And then that goes to all the states to ratify. And then 3/4 of those states have to say yes, and then it's enshrined in the Constitution. And it happened 12 times in the last century. It happened for women being able to vote. It happened for civil rights. It happened for prohibition. It happened for overturning prohibition. It's not an uncommon process.
Why propose a constitutional amendment as an approach rather than using other strategies to deal with these issues?
Well, I mean, the basis of all these problems is the Supreme Court. It's Citizens United in 2010. It's McCutcheon. It's Valeo. It's all these Supreme Court decisions. And the only way to overturn Supreme Court decisions is if the Supreme Court does it. But the Supreme Court, even if we changed everyone who's on it right now, they can only change something if a court case comes to them. They can't just decide on their own. And so the only other way to overturn it is with the Congress. And Congress, you know, hasn't acted yet. But if Congress decides that 3/4 of them decide that they want to overturn this and make a constitutional amendment, then it can happen. So it's the only avenue right now.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Matthew Strybe, Director of Communications for the Washington Coalition to Amend the Constitution. Our topic is I-735, a measure that would urge the Washington State Congressional Delegation to propose a federal constitutional amendment that constitutional rights belong only to individuals, not corporations, and constitutionally protected free speech excludes the spending of money. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. Who is involved in the Washington Coalition to Amend the Constitution?
So Initiative 735 is by and far mostly volunteers. We have volunteers all over the state. Just yesterday, I was up in Skagit County talking to about 30 people who have spent pretty much a year trying to get out information on 735. In terms of organizational structure, we have a steering committee run by a couple of different organizations that have members, such as Fix Democracy First, Public Citizen, Move to Amend, and Pay to Play, that help us steer us in the day-to-day. But really, we're just a very large coalition of everyday people who are just really passionate about this issue.
What was your process for getting I-735 on the November ballot?
It's been a long process. We tried a couple years ago to do an initiative to the people, but we didn't get enough signatures. And then we tried for a few years to get the Washington State Legislature to do something on its own, but they didn't do it. So last year, we had 1,714 volunteers going out collecting signatures. And unlike other initiatives, 88% of our signatures came from these volunteers. And they alone got 300,000 signatures. And so it was just by the sheer force of the people who care about this that we got on the ballot this year.
Would you elaborate on what will be accomplished if I-735 passes? You've said a bit about that, but say more.
Well, there have been a lot of polls saying that people are against Citizens United. There was a poll by Bloomberg that said 80% of Republicans are against it and 83% of Democrats are against it. But those are just polls. They're unofficial. They're kind of word of mouth. This would be something that would be official, an official thing saying that Washington State, the voters are overwhelmingly against Citizens United and we want it changed. And one of the big problems that we have is that Congress people right now haven't made much movement to change Citizens United. There's been a couple people that have been like, oh, we want to change it, but it's never really gotten very far. And this way, if we vote and then the Washington representatives to D.C. don't do anything, we can say, hey, we voted. Why aren't you doing anything? And we can hold them accountable. Right now, there's no way to hold anyone accountable for inaction.
And what will be accomplished if the constitutional amendment itself is ultimately passed?
I mean, if the amendment goes forward, it would basically help get rid of super PACs. It would allow states, I want to say a big thing that states can't do right now, is this happened in Montana, is Montana had some of the most extensive campaign finance laws in the country. And a lot of this was because the mines were owned by corporations. And the corporations would just basically buy whatever politician into office that they wanted. And Montanans didn't like that. But then with Citizens United, it said Montana does not have the right to make its own campaign finance laws. And passing an amendment would say to the states, you can make the laws however you want. So it's putting the power back into the people. And this works really well. Like, everyone's like, oh, you know, liberals really like this. Well, Montana's not a liberal state. Like, this is what speaks to the conservative side. It's like giving states a voice again. It would take away the corporations using First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment rights. A big thing happened in Tacoma, you know, with Tacoma Water. They tried to get initiative to protect their water, but they couldn't do it. And they were sued and it was overturned because of the Citizens United, saying that it would impinge on the corporation's rights if Tacomans wanted to vote to protect their water. I mean, passing an amendment would make it for it so that only people can have the rights in the Constitution, which were meant for people.
So what constitutional rights have corporations successfully taken?
All right. Well, I don't want to give a huge history lesson here, but corporate personhood goes all the way back to the 1800s. In the 1800s, railroad corporations sought to benefit from the 14th Amendment, which granted equal protection and was meant to grant citizenship to former slaves. But they wanted it so that they could basically expand westward and take whatever land they wanted. And since then, the Supreme Court has extended basically every right in the Constitution to corporations. They have used First Amendment rights to advertise for guns, tobacco, and other dangerous products, and to avoid having to label genetically modified foods. They've used Fourth Amendment search and seizure rights. They've used that to avoid subpoenas for unlawful trade and price fixing. They've used 14th Amendment due process and equal protection rights for fracking, to build chain stores, and to erect cell towers against the will of communities. I mean, it goes on. Basically, every single right in the Constitution has been changed in a way for corporations to increase their profits.
What response are you getting in Washington State to I-735 so far?
I mean, this kind of initiative was kind of meant for a state like Washington. I mean, we're a very progressive state. We like, you know, citizen action. It's part of the reason we've been able to get so many volunteers. We haven't had anyone speak out really against it. At least, you know, there's no politicians, there's no organizations that have been like, we don't like 735. There is a group out there called First Amendment Defenders that has popped up that wrote the anti-735 initiative language that will come out in the voter pamphlet. But I guess this kind of speaks to our issue because we don't know really who they are. We don't know where their money is coming from. And they say stuff like, we're silencing people's speech, that we are going to shut down Planned Parenthood and shut down McDonald's and shut down every corporation imaginable. But it's really fear-mongering. And I think it says a lot that they haven't had any big names support them yet.
Who has endorsed I-735 so far?
We have had a variety of organizations and groups endorse 735. We've had the Faith Action Network. We've had Fix Democracy First. We have Real Change, Public Citizen, National Council of the Alliance for Democracy, the Middle Class Alliance, the Washington Education Association, WashPerg, Washington Conservation Voters. Because so many groups have been hurt and overspent by these really wealthy individuals that they all latch on because, like, we want the playing field to be leveled for us. That's why conservationists and teachers and unions and all these people are jumping on to say, like, we know that this might hurt us a little bit, but it'll help us a lot. And that's worth it to us.
Where does your funding come from?
Funding. The irony of being an initiative that is against big money of elections means that big money is not giving money to us. So we're on a shoestring budget, but all of our money has basically come from individuals and volunteers. And we have probably 1/100th of the money that other initiatives have because we have no big money. We have no big donors from outer state. We're just your mom and pops basically giving a couple hundred or maybe even a few thousand, but nothing bigger than that.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Matthew Strybe, Director of Communications for the Washington Coalition to Amend the Constitution. Our topic is I-735, a measure that would urge the Washington State Congressional Delegation to propose a federal constitutional amendment that constitutional rights belong only to individuals, not corporations, and constitutionally protected free speech excludes the spending of money. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. What is the likelihood that I-735 will pass?
That's hard because I'm like looking into a crystal ball. I would say if everyone in the state knew what our initiative does, it would be 90%. But our biggest problem right now is that a lot of people don't know about Citizens United or don't know about all these other decisions or what it actually means for them. And because of that, we have to really educate the populace and fight against these other people who want to say that, you know, we're destroying everything. So, I mean, I guess that's the best answer I can give you. We're hopeful that we can spread the message out.
What is going on in other states or nationally in regard to promoting a constitutional amendment of this nature?
A lot. It's funny because we printed out all of our campaign literature saying, make Washington the 17th state to go on record. And as soon as we sent it out to the printer, it was immediately wrong because New York just kind of last month, like, surprise, their legislature passed, you know, legislation saying we want Citizens United overturned. So immediately Washington couldn't be the 17th anymore. And now we're the 18th. And so we have to tell everyone and give out literature like, this is wrong. We're now going to be the 18th. California tried to do a proposition similar to ours 2 years ago, but they were challenged in court, and the Supreme Court said that, you know, it couldn't be on the ballot that year. They had to think about it. But this year, the California Supreme Court said, yes, it can be on the ballot. And last month, it went through the governor's office. And so California will also be voting like we are this year. In New Mexico, the senator there has proposed a constitutional amendment to Congress, although it hasn't really gotten very far. And we have Hillary Clinton last weekend saying that if she's elected, she would push for a constitutional amendment in her first 30 days of office. But like I said before, it's really up to Congress. And even if the president is pushing for a constitutional amendment, the president doesn't really have any authority to make that happen. They can just say, this is what I want, this is what I want, but that doesn't mean that there will be action. So we still need to make sure that our congresspeople actually do it.
What kind of support do you have from people running for Congress in this particular election?
Well, it's been kind of a breadth of support. About half of our elected statewide representatives have supported us, and the other half have been silent. None of them have been against us. We get probably like one or two more endorsements every week. They keep rolling in. So it's been good.
What are the future plans of the Washington Coalition to amend the Constitution if I-735 passes?
Well, the Washington Coalition to amend the Constitution won't exist after November. We are only here to get this initiative passed. But a lot of our infrastructure will still remain, and we will be folded into Fix Democracy First, which will be an organization with lots of volunteers basically trying to make sure that Congress people do what the people voted on this November. But the Coalition to Amend the Constitution, the WAMEN, that is just for this November.
So what are the future plans of the Washington Coalition to Amend the Constitution if I-735 fails in this election?
You know, if I-735 fails, I really don't know what we could do after that. That would be the people saying that they do not want it to happen. We are about democracy. If the people say they do not want Citizens United to be overturned, we're going to respect that. But we don't really think that the people will say that.
Well, so far in other states where this has gone to ballot, has it won in every case? Or have there been cases where, in fact, it was voted down?
It has never been voted down.
Okay. And how many states where it was voted on by the population?
Two, Montana and Colorado.
Oh, I see. And the rest have gone through the legislature?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Not always, you know, Democrat legislatures like West Virginia, New York. New York had a Republican branch of their legislature, and they voted for it, too. Like, it's across both parties.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I would say this. A lot of our detractors saying we're trying to silence free speech. But here's how I view it. Imagine that you are at the dinner table with your family, all trying to decide where to go on vacation. And your crazy Uncle Harry there has a megaphone. And he's yelling, Miami Beach, Miami Beach, Miami Beach. You're probably going to go to Miami Beach. But is that fair? It's really not. And so you take away his megaphone. And yes, you may be technically silencing a little bit of speech, but you're letting everyone else speak. And isn't that the ideal that we want in our society? Because that's what Initiative 735 does. It takes away the megaphone from the wealthy and the corporations so that everyone can speak in our democracy. And then our democracy becomes a little bit more perfect.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Matthew. You were just listening to Matthew Strybe, Director of Communications for the Washington Coalition to Amend the Constitution. For more information, check on the web at yes735.org. Again, that's yes735.org. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the Sustainability segment again next week on Listener Powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and on kexp.org.